Ezekiel, the 18th chapter, page 858 in your Scofield Bible. I'll be reading the first four verses, and we'll read these verses responsively. Ezekiel 18, verses 1 through 4, page 858 in your Scofield Bible. The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, What mean ye that you use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge? As I live, saith the Lord God, ye shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Verse 4 is the text verse for this evening's message. Let's pray. Father, we thank you how good you are. And we cannot, in our imagination, imagine how good you really are. We thank you for every favor, for every blessing that we who've been around a long time have learned to thank you for trials. To thank you for suffering. We've seen your purpose and plan and all that's transpired here in this great church. And we thank thee. We thank you for this evening. It's just a bit of the whole, but it's an important bit. That you'd help us as we concentrate once again upon your word. As hearers, help us to be careful to hear. And help our preacher as he comes to preach. In Jesus' name, amen.
When you've preached as long as I have, 53 years a Baptist preacher, 51 years an ordained Baptist preacher and a pastor, you're almost a walking history book of fundamentalism. I heard that song sung all over America. Dr. John Rice wrote that song. I would be very surprised if he didn't write it. In the room next to me somewhere in a conference, I heard him sing tonight as I heard our brother sing it so well. Last week, Brother Gordway sang Justifying, written by a man that at the time he wrote it was my music director, Dr. Bill Harvey. And tonight, I thought of Seattle and Portland and Los Angeles and San Diego and Phoenix and Albuquerque and Omaha and Dallas and Fort Worth and Atlanta, Miami and Jacksonville, New York City, Chicago, Cleveland, Detroit, all over America where Dr. Rice and I traveled together. I heard him sing that song. Tonight I want to speak to you a very unusual message on the subject, the one and only you. Brother Scott, I'm going to ask you to come over here and sit where I sit, not permanently, just tonight. And I want my good buddy here to come up here a minute. Atta boy, right up here. That's the you're the one, boy. Spit your gum out now. Here you go. Hey, I got it. I got it. Come on, I got it. And you have a seat right over there, son. And I'm gonna use you tonight. I want you to behave and be a good boy. And you too, Brother Scott. I'll tell Brother Scott like I told Brother Fisk and Brother Colston one day. I was walking down the hall and I had my arm full of stuff. I mean, literally full of papers, business, and everything. And Brother Fisk said, "We're having a discussion, we're going to take over the church." I took about 500 pages of papers and just said, "Good, here they are," and I threw them to him. I'll get better as we go along tonight, I'm sure. I want to use that little line tonight in Ezekiel 18:4. It says, "All souls are mine." all souls are mine. The honest truth is, a soul is what makes you you. What God is saying here is every single individual soul. I made it. It's different. It's unique to itself. And they all belong to me. I wish tonight that I could sit down with each of you and talk to you like I'm going to speak tonight and just tell you how I feel about the truth I'm going to bring tonight. Our Heavenly Father, I pray you help me to help these dear ones. And may we leave tonight realizing that we are somebody. Please help me in a very special way. Amen. You have been listening, those of you who come to the 6 o'clock hour, you've been listening to people tell you about the various ministries of our church. I'll come back to that after final. This statement in Ezekiel 18:4, where it says, all souls are mine, was written to correct a statement that was being made by the people of Israel. The statement was, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and our teeth are set on edge. This generation was saying, we are recipients of the judgments of this for the sins of our fathers. They were the same type generation. Everybody's to blame but you. If you don't turn out right, it's somebody else's fault. That's this generation. And the generation of Ezekiel 18:4 was the same way. My mother and father didn't show love to each other, and that's how I turned out. No, you turned out like you did because you chose to turn out like you did. But so this little statement was written to explain to the Jews that they alone were responsible for their own actions. And he said, all souls are mine. What's your name, son? First name? Yeah. What do you say, Eddie? What do you say? Angelo. Angelo, come up here, please. I want you to stand right here just for a minute. I'm going to use you quite a bit tonight. Let me say to you first, there is no one just like you. And there never has been anybody just like you. And there never will be anybody just like you. They say that there are all the snowflakes that have fallen in all the history of man, that no two snowflakes have been exactly alike. They say that in all the history of mankind, of all the grains of sand that have been on beaches and deserts all over the world, no two grains of sand have ever been exactly alike. They say of all the leaves that have ever been on the trees of the world, that no two trees have ever been exactly alike. They say that no two fingerprints have ever been or ever will be or are exactly alike. Now, it just makes me believe if there are no two snowflakes alike, and no two leaves alike, and no two grains of sand alike, and no two fingerprints alike, there are no two people alike. So, Angelo, there never has been anybody in this world like you. And there is no one tonight in this world like you. And there never will be anybody in this world like you. You are an original. You are a designer's model. And God made you different from anybody He's ever made on the face of the earth. Now, let me give you some things to you and then to Angelo. Let me give you a few things. You can have a seat, Angelo, for right now. Number one, since you and all of us were made to love God, that means that no one can love God just like you can. There is a hue that only you can add to the painting of love. There is an instrument that only you can play in the orchestra of love. And there is a note that only you can sing in the melody of love. Ask a question tonight. Oh, let me put it this way. I often perform wedding ceremonies, and I say to the bride and groom, I'll say to him, you have a love that nobody else has. Unique. Nobody has the same love. And you're giving to this young lady today a love that no one else could ever give her. And you, as a bride, are receiving a love that's unique. And no one else has ever received a love exactly like this. Angelo, the name Dr. Lee Robertson doesn't mean anything to you, but it does to me. But do you know that Dr. Lee Robertson can't love God exactly like Angelo can? Dwight L. Moody, the name Dwight Moody doesn't mean much to you, if anything. But those of us who are Christian people have been saved for years. We know Dwight L. Moody, probably the greatest evangelist that this world has ever seen. But Dwight Moody cannot love like Angelo can. Billy Sunday, the great evangelist, cannot love like Angelo can. In your heart, Angelo, there is a love that nobody else has ever had in the history of the world. Now, the same is true with you. I've asked you a question. Is God receiving that unique love? That love that only you can give? Are you giving it to God? Nobody can take your place. And Angelo, nobody can take your place. And I want to say this tonight. How old are you?
I'm 10.
You're 10. Did you know when I was 10, I don't know how poor you are, but I was 10 years old. I was poorer than you. I was better looking too, by the way. But didn't have buses back in those days, but if they had buses, I'd have been a bus kid. My daddy left our home, and my daddy was an alcoholic, and my mama raised me by myself. And my daddy would come to see me on the weekends, and he wouldn't come to the house because he couldn't come to the house. He'd call and say, son, I'd like to see you. And I'd go around the corner maybe to a little store, and I'd meet my dad and spend about an hour with him. I don't know what the circumstances of your life are, but I know the circumstances of your life are cut above what mine were. That sort of means you someday could pastor a great church, doesn't it? That means someday you could do something for God that's pretty big, doesn't it? You see, in your breast, Angelo, there is a love that God has placed in that heart that God has not placed in this heart or this heart or this heart. It is unique. It is only yours. Now, that means if you don't love God, then tell Him that you love Him and offer your love to God. God's going to be missing something that He wanted because He made you to love Him like nobody else can. And if you don't love Him with the love that God's given you, then God will not receive that kind of love. Now, I don't know about you, but I want God to receive every kind of love. And I want God to receive the kind of love that only I can give. Thank you, Angelo. Now I turn to you again. Thank you. Be seated down. He gets pretty soon he's one of them want to take over the church. I was telling him he could pastor a big church. I don't mean tonight. Have to wait a while. That isn't all. Not only did God give you a love for Him that nobody else has. But in the second place, God loves you in a way He loves nobody else. You see, God loves all, for God so loved the world. But you say, how could God have a different type of love for every single person who's ever lived? Because He's God, you see. And so, God loves you. Ask your question. How long has it been since you bask in the sunlight of the fact that you are the recipient of a love that nobody else has ever received from God? I mean, God loves me in a way that God did not love Dwight Moody or Adoniram Judson or David Livingston. God loves me in a way He did not love John Rice and does not love Lee Robertson. Angelo, that means that God, come up here, that means that God not only loves you, you have a love to give to God that is unique to you, but God loves you in a way He doesn't love me. Isn't that wonderful? Well, act like it. Say amen. Say glory to God. Wave your hand up high. But anyway, I hit him in the eye, I think. But Angelo, you're a bus kid. And we've been talking about the public school kids and the deaf and all the others in our church. But you're a bus kid. But I want you to know that you're just as important to God as that man sitting right there. And you're as important to God as that man sitting right there. And you're more important to God than that man sitting right over there, Roy Mocker. So, Angelo, God not only loves you with a love He has for nobody else, but He's given you a love that nobody else can give Him. Thank you, Angelo. Absolutely over there. Now, let me say the third thing. And that is, not only do you have a love to offer God, by the way, have you told Him you love Him today? Have you just simply said, dear God, I love you? I promise you I've said it 100 times today. I love you. Now, if you're not expressing that love, then God is being cheated out of something that he has a right to have. Because the love that you have is unique to you, but that isn't all. Have you thanked him for his love for you today? Because the love that God has for you is unique like your love for him, and he loves you in a way he loves nobody else but number three. You can praise God in a way that no one else can. Nobody can praise God like you can. I've been preaching a long time. I think of Mrs. Jim Ford down in East Texas. She'd get happy. She'd start clapping her hands and go down the aisle hugging everybody. Her husband got saved one Christmas night, and she had prayed for him. She's a big lady, about 240 pounds. And I've seen her shout again and again. But her husband got saved. She didn't know he was there. She was sitting over here. He was sitting back in the back. Came in late on Christmas night. Sunday was on Christmas. And about two-thirds in my sermon, old Jim Ford stood up back in the back and hollered, "Hey, preacher, I can't wait no longer to get saved." I stopped the sermon, started singing the invitation, and down the aisle came Jim Ford, and Mrs. Ford came unscrewed. All 240 pounds of her began to shout. That little old country church, she went down the aisle here, and she stopped everybody, I mean male and female, and hugged them, and put her on, and shook them like that, and said, "Thank you, Jesus, for saving Jim. Thank you, Jesus, for saving Jim." And I weighed about 140, she weighed about 240. She came down the aisle, hugged everybody, and then she came up on the platform, and I said, "No, ma'am, no way, no way." You wouldn't believe it. Pastor Hiles was taken in the arms of a 240-pound woman. She shook me and said, "Thank you, Jesus, for saving Jim." I said, "You're welcome." Now, I never seen anybody do it like that. We had a fellow in Texas, and this is the way he'd praise the Lord. He'd say, "Praise Jesus." Big old smile across his face. "Praise Jesus." I've never seen anybody do it exactly like that. In Garland, we had a man sing in the choir. He praised God by laughing. He'd just start laughing. That's all. And Dr. Weigel praised God by taking his shoes off, making a trampoline out of his bed, and jumping up and down, clapping his hands and praising God. Now, Angelo, come here. That means this. Now, everybody didn't praise God the same way. Only one time in my life I ever jumped up and down and made a trampoline out of a bed. I've never gone up and down the aisle hugging people and saying, "Thank you." Never have. But I can praise God in a way that nobody else can. And you can praise God in a way that nobody else can. I'm not saying you gotta stand up and wave your Bible in church. I'm not saying you shouldn't either. But I'm saying sometime you ought to have a spell somewhere. Because nobody can praise God exactly like you can. Now that means, Angelo, not only does God love you in a love that he gives nobody else, and you can offer God a love that nobody else can offer God, but that means you can praise God in a way that nobody else can praise him. You see, you're the one and only. What's the last name? Richard. There are the two Angelos. One's Angelo Davenport, but you're a little lighter complexion than he is. Anyway, I'm saying that you, see, Jesus died for you like he did for me. And God's preparing a home in heaven for you just like he is me. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm no better than you are. Because I was where you are one time. But you need to praise God. You need to get alone sometime and just say, "Dear Lord, you're wonderful. And I love you. And I appreciate the fact that you sent somebody by my house to knock on my door. And somebody, bus worker, cared for me and came by and told me about Jesus and they brought me to church and I'm going to heaven when I die sometime." Thank you. I'm simply saying that every single person in this room can love God in a way that is unique to you and are loved by God like he loves nobody else, and you can praise God in a way that nobody else can praise God. Number four, you need him in a way that nobody else needs him. You need God in a way unique to you. I have a sermon I preach once every year or so around the country, and I say in that sermon, I was made to please God. Revelation 4:11 says everything he created for his own pleasure. I was made to please God. I turn to Hebrews 11:6 and find out what pleases God. It is faith that pleases God. I then say, faith is dependence upon God. I then say, Romans 14:23 says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now you listen to me. That means that if I do anything and don't depend upon God while I do it, it's sin. You know why God made you? God didn't make you to be a great preacher. God didn't make you to be a great singer or a great teacher or a great educator. God made you to need Him. God wanted somebody to need Him. And God made you to need Him. And God made you to depend upon Him. And the Bible says, if you do anything without depending upon God, it is sin. That means if you teach a Sunday school class and don't depend upon God, it's sin. That means if you sing and don't depend upon God, it's sin. That means if you preach and don't depend upon God, it's sin. That means if you build a home and don't depend upon God, it's sin. That means if you build a marriage and don't depend upon God, it's sin. Anything you do without depending upon God is directly in contrast to why God made you. Hey, you're not a hot shot. You're just a piece of dust held together by some moisture. The object of divine love, and He loves you like He loved nobody else, and you can love Him like nobody else can love Him, and you can praise Him like nobody else can praise Him, but you need Him in a way that nobody else needs Him. Angelo? You live in Chicago? You do? I don't know, Angelo. See, I live in Munster, Indiana. I don't know what kind of house you live in, but it's nicer than the one I lived in when I was your age. You have an indoor bathroom? No, we didn't. We went outside to a telephone booth in the backyard. You have a faucet where you turn the water on? We didn't. We had a well off the back porch. You have heat in your house that is a gas heat? We didn't. We had a wood stove that we had to put wood in. Do you have electric lights, electricity in your house? We didn't. We used kerosene lamps and lanterns. Now, I don't know how you need Him, but you need Him. I don't care who you are, or how big you get, how strong you get, how rich you get, how important you get. You need God. And you need God, you know. And by the way, that's what pleases God. Thank you, Angelo. Now, that isn't all. I said you are loved by God in a way that nobody else is loved by God. You can love God. You have a love to give to God that nobody else can give Him. You can praise God in a way that nobody else can praise Him. And again, I say, if you don't praise Him, He loses some praise He deserves. If you don't love Him, He loses some love He deserves. If you don't tell Him you love Him, He's losing some affection that deserves, because that's why He made you. That isn't all. Others need you in a way that they need no others. I look at you. Each of you feels a need in this church that no one else feels. These men on the platform, I love them all. Each man on this platform is unique to me. They love me in a unique way. I love each of them in a unique way. And I need each one of them, but I don't need them all the same way. Now that means that not only does God need you in a unique way, but others need you in a unique way also. Angelo, one of these days you won't be that high. You'll be that high. And one of these days you won't be a 10-year-old boy. You'll be a grown man. There's people out yonder waiting for you. There are people out there that you can win to Christ that nobody else would ever win to Christ. There are people out there that you can help that I can't help. That means that God has a plan for you that He has for nobody else. But it means that out yonder, if you don't serve God, somebody's going to miss being blessed. Somebody's going to die and go to hell if you don't serve God. Somebody's going to have a wasted life if you don't serve God. For there's a whole world out. Hey, somebody came to get you. Now you got to go back and get somebody else where you are, you see. And so I'm simply saying that this world doesn't need me any more than this world needs you. Because you have a need that you can fill in this world that Jack Hiles can't fill, John Rice couldn't fill, Lee Robertson couldn't fill, Billy Sunday couldn't fill, Dwight Moody couldn't fill. Hey, that's a pretty big thing. This whole world needs you.
So don't try to just make money in this world. Don't try to just be popular or famous or have a lot of fun. You decide that you are going to serve humanity in the only way that you can and the only way that anybody else can in the whole wide world. Thank you, Angelo. Be seated. Not only do you, as well as Angelo, not only were you made to love God in a way that nobody else has really made to love God, and God will not receive the full love that He deserves if you don't love Him. Not only does God love you in a way He loves nobody else, not only can you praise God in a way that nobody else can praise Him, not only do you need Him in a way that no one else needs Him, not only do others need you in a way that they need nobody else, but listen carefully. You, every bus kid in this room, every public school kid in this room, every mission man, every single deaf person, the blind, every single bus driver, the sailors, listen carefully. God has, or you, have a task to perform that nobody else can ever perform. You understand? God looked down one day and saw that in 1959, the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, needed a pastor. And God allowed in 1926, a little town called Italy, Texas, on September 25th, God made me to pastor First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. That means that God needed somebody just like me. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not a great man. I'm no Moody. I'm no Spurgeon. I'm no Lee Robertson. I'm no John Rice. I'm no Billy Sunday. I'm no Dwight Moody. But not a one of them could pastor First Baptist Church as well as I can. I can pastor. The only thing I can do better than Dwight Moody is pastor First Baptist Church of Hammond. The only thing I can do better than Billy Sunday is pastor First Baptist Church of Hammond. Why? Because God made me the pastor First Baptist Church of Hammond. God gave me a personality and a disposition and a manner that the First Baptist Church of Hammond needed, and I stand tonight behind this pulpit in a place where nobody tonight could excel me. And so do you. What happened? God looked down and God had a job to do back yonder. And God made you to do that job. You hear what I said? God made you to do that job. That means that God needed somebody just like you. And that means that you are somebody. I've said this before, but one of the few things I like about Jesse Jackson is the fact that he stands up in front of those little black kids in the Chicago schools and says, "You are somebody." And he has those little black kids say it, "I am somebody. I am somebody. I am somebody. I am somebody." And they're exactly right. Every one of those little black kids or white kids or yellow kids or red kids or brown kids are somebody in the sight of Almighty God. And God had a job for you to do, and God made you to do that job. Now, I don't care how much money you make, you're a flop if you don't do what God put you here to do. I am so sick and tired of sports in America. I'm sick and tired of them. I'm sick and tired of young people wanting to play some kind of sport instead of serving Almighty God in the place that God made it. God didn't make anybody to play Chicago for basketball for the Chicago Bulls. And God didn't make anybody to play baseball for the Chicago Cubs. And God didn't make anybody just to have fun and bounce a ball and shoot a ball or throw a ball or hit a ball. Let me tell you something. There's something higher and nobler than that in this world. Oh, and God's name, get a hold of yourself. You got to face God someday, and God's not going to ask you what your average was in scoring. Shake yourself. Get a hold of yourself. Angelo, there's only one way in life you can be a success. You may lead the National Basketball Association in scoring and break Michael Jordan's records, but you'll be a flop. You don't do what God made you for. You may hit 71 home runs someday and break Mark McGwire's record of home runs, but you'll be a flop unless you do the thing that God made you to do. Son, you're somebody made in the image of Almighty God. Jesus was born in Bethlehem for you. He lived on earth for you. He was wrongly tried for you. He was crucified for you. He rose again for you. He ascended back to heaven for you. He intercedes in the presence of the Father for you tonight. He's preparing a home in heaven for you. You're somebody. Now, because of all He's done for you, you owe a debt to Him, and that is to find out why He made you and do it before you die. Thank you, Angelo. That isn't all. Number 7, no one else can do that task as well as you. I said a while ago, Spurgeon was a greater preacher than I, but he could not have pastored this church as well as I can. Dwight Moody was a greater preacher than I, but he could not pastor this church as well as I can. Dee Robertson, Billy Sunday, J. Frank Norris, all of them. And the same is true with you. Every once in a while, somebody will come to our church. I don't believe all that hollering. You do at the United Center where the Bulls are playing. You do when the local high school team scores a touchdown. You do when Sammy Sosa hits 66 home runs in a season. Now you listen to me. There's nobody who is as perverted in their sense of values as independent fundamental Baptists are. In God's name, what does it matter how popular you are or how much fun you have bouncing around ball on a court? What does it matter? It doesn't matter at all. The only thing that matters is, did you do what God made you to do? Check yourself. Get a hold of yourself. Put some sense in that cranium. And I just always wanted to be a movie star. With your push, you'll never make it. I'm sick and tired of somebody like Oprah making millions of dollars. Sick and tired of a guy like this catcher for the New York Mets signing a contract for $12 million a year. That man right there, Bob Marshall, was a businessman. That man can make hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. He's living almost on poverty wages. Why? Because God put him at Hiles Anderson College. That's why. That means, Angelo, that means that whatever God has called you to do and made you for, I can't do it as well as you can. Neither can He, neither can He, neither can He. Nobody in this world will be able to do what you have been made to do. And that means if you don't do it, it'll not be done as well as you could. So I say to you tonight, you find out why He made you. One of these days when you're older, you're going to look back to tonight. And you're going to remember that night that an old preacher stood up and told you some things. You have a choice to make. You want to live for yourself, you want to live for God. You want to live for pleasure, or do you want to live for eternal values? You've got a choice to make. Thank you. That isn't all. God doesn't expect any more from you. Hear this. God doesn't expect any more from you than what He made you to do. The other night I was preaching, and I mentioned this before. I was preaching in Washington, Iowa. A little short fellow there, good preacher, excellent preacher, named Larry Brown. He's been there for 25 years. Washington, Iowa has 6,000 people. I asked Brother Brown one time, why did you stay here? Bigger churches and bigger cities all over the world would love to have had you to pastor. And I've had two people contact me and say, you think Larry Brown would be interested in our pulpit in some big city somewhere? But Larry Brown said, the reason I'm in Washington, Iowa, is this is where I think God wants me to be. So that means that if you are where God puts you, you're as important as I am. I sat up here, youth conference, and heard Chris Teff preach. One of the finest preachers in America is Chris Teff. One of the finest men, Chris Teff. Khrushchev, if I simply told the country that Khrushchev wants to pastor, I promise you churches would be contacting him that knocked the door to his house down to get to him. But God wants Khrushchev to teach Bible at Hammond Baptist Junior High School. And so Khrushchev just said, that's where I'll be. Now, wait a minute. What else has God done? Because Khrushchev is willing to be, not trying to be a big shot, not trying to promote himself. God said, okay, I'll send you around the country every summer, preaching in churches representing Hiles Anderson College, and I'll promise you, listen carefully, I promise you that the Bible teacher at Hammond Baptist Junior High School is better known around the country than 90% of the pastors in America. Why? Because he realizes that the big thing to do is not the big thing, but the thing that God made him to do. And that means, number nine, there are no big shots. Angelo? Yeah, last night I was in Calumet City at the Walgreens. Walgreens is like God. They're everywhere. Omnipresent. But I went over to Walgreens. I go to Walgreens. And now you'll go over there. I'll change. But I go over to Illinois to Walgreens, the drugstore, because I can't get out of a drugstore here. We don't eat in restaurants here much because last time I ate at one restaurant here, Cracker Barrel years ago, out in Maryville, I signed 17 Bibles while I was eating my turnip greens at Cracker Barrel. Last night I was over in Illinois to Walgreens, and a fellow walked up and said, would you sign my Bible? I wanted to throw it at him. That's why I went over there, to get away from it. I said, sure I will. I signed his Bible, talked to him a few minutes. When I left Walgreens, I went out to the car, and he was standing outside. I said, son, where are you going? He said, I'm going over to Condit Street, across from St. Margaret's Hospital. I said, why? He said, I got a friend over there. He said, I'm a student at Hiles Anderson College, and a little short Mexican fella. In fact, born and reared in Mexico. Had to learn how to speak English after he got here. And I said, look, get in the car. I'll drive you over there. Man, you'd have thought Elijah got resurrected. He said, wow. And he sat there in the car, and every once in a while, he looked over just to see if it was really me. And I got news for you, Angelo. You're as big a shot as I am. You ask any of these men on the platform, Brother Howell's a big shot, and they'll say if he is, he hadn't found out about it yet. I'm a big shot because I'm doing what God's called me to do. But the fellows that swept this building are just as big as I am if that's what God called them to do. And that means that there are no big shots. Either that or all big shots if we do the thing that God's put us here to do. So, Angelo, it's up to you. It's your life. It's up to you, too, by the way. Up to you, too. Whether or not you're going to offer to God the only love like yours, offer to God the only praise like yours, do the only thing that do the work that only you can do, it's up to you. But I want to say this. If you decide that you're going to have fun or pleasure instead of doing the thing God put you to do, please forgive me for calling you this, but you're the biggest fool in the world. Angelo, you can love him like I can't. He loves you like he doesn't love me. You can praise him like I can. You can serve him like I can't. You can do a job better than I could do it because he made you to do it. You can have a seat. And that isn't all. Lastly, God will judge you on the basis of what he intended you to do. God's not going to judge you on the basis of how close to me you came. God's not going to judge a fella in Kentucky, back in the hollows of Kentucky, who's faithfully pastored some little church back there and won everybody to Christ that he can and married their young and buried their dead and prayed for their sick and lifted their fallen and lifted their spirits and gave his all. God's not going to judge him any less than God's going to judge me, and God has no more rewards to give me than he has to give him. Remember the parable in Matthew 25? Fellow went on a trip, gave one fellow 5 talents, one 2 talents, and one talent. He came back and he asked the fellow to whom he gave 5, how'd you do? He said, I invested it and I've got 10. He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful a few things, I'll make ruler of many. He went to the next fellow, he gave him 2 talents, how did you do? He said, I got 4. The first guy got 10. He said the same thing to the second guy who went from 2 to 4 as he did the guy that went from 5 to 10. So God's going to judge you on the basis of what God intended you to do and how you did. Listen carefully. I'll close. Soon I must face him. At best, it can't be many years. So I'll face him. He will then place what I was meant to be with what beside what I became. That's all. Jimmy? He'll place what I was meant to be beside what I became. On that basis, give me rewards. He will place what I was meant to do beside what I did. On that basis. That's all. Ask your question. Look at me and I'm through. What if you faced him today? What if before midnight tonight you were taken out to face God? Huh? What if before midnight tonight you were taken out to face God? Huh? And suppose he put this what you were made to be beside what you became. And what you're made to do beside what you're doing. That's the only basis. And that means, Angelo, that means that if God made you to have a bus route, what nobler thing? How important is it? What's more important than what this guy's doing for you? Your bus captain. He loved you. He came to see you. Now you got to pass it on. Don't let it end here. You got to pass it on. And when you face God one of these days, no matter how much money you made, how important you were, how famous, or how much fun you had, or how many home runs you hit, or how many touchdown passes you threw. A bunch of goons today all across America spent Sunday when they ought to have been in church. Spent Sunday kicking the dead pig blown up with air across the field. And God didn't put you here for that. God put you here to do one thing and one thing only. And your success in life will be determined on whether or not you did that. And you'll be judged someday and rewarded someday. Only on the basis. Did you do what God put you here to do? Thank you. And the same is true for you. How you measuring up? Oh, you say for the house someday. Yeah, but a lot of folks don't have someday. How do you measure up tonight? If it all ended now, how would what God made you to be measure up with what you are? Or how would what you are measure up with what he made you to be? How would what you have done measure up with what God made you to do? You're somebody. You are somebody. And like those little black kids in Chicago, you can say tonight, I am somebody. I am somebody. Made in the image of Almighty God. Made for a specific purpose. God needed me. How are you doing? Would you bow your heads? Our Heavenly Father, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with glory and honor. What an honor it is to be made by God, for God,